Today is the 7th of August, 2010, and I'm with Chris Mason. We're in a cemetery in rural Shelby County. Chris has had some experiences here, and we're not sure how many of them are Bigfoot related, but we're going to spend part of the night here and see if we can't hear something and go from there. So, Chris, how long have you been coming to this location?
A couple months now.
Okay. And what just kind of run through the different experiences you've had here that you think might be Bigfoot related.
Well, every time I've been out here, including the first time, I wasn't out here very long, and we started hearing wood knocking all around us in the woods, and just different areas. It was like it surrounded us. And along with the wood knocking, we heard what sounded like logs being thrown. These were like heavy chunks of wood being tossed.
How many different locations would you say that was? Two or three, or?
Oh no, I would say 10 to 20.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, it surrounds the area. It's almost like there's several of them.
I don't know how big this cemetery is. Would you have any idea? Is it 2 acres, or is it not that big?
I'd say it's 2 acres, a good 2 acres.
Well, it's fabulous country, and a lot of people don't realize Illinois and central Illinois is this heavily wooded, but this is pretty wooded and it's pretty hilly. I wouldn't want to be walking out here in the dark by myself, that's for sure.
No, it's very dense, very dense.
So you've heard wood knocks and logs, wood being thrown. Did you feel it was in relationship to you guys being here?
Yes, I felt like something was, it felt to me like something was protecting the area and it didn't want us to go into the woods. It seemed like the woods was its area and it wanted to let us know that it was in there and to stay out. That's what I got the feeling of.
Okay.
I got the feeling of fear to go into the woods.
Okay. You know, a lot of animals can stare at people. A lot of people get those feelings, and it can be other animals, other than Bigfoot, that give people that feeling of being watched. Have you had that feeling here, of being watched?
Oh yeah, definitely. All the time. It's like a set of eyes are on you constantly. I mean, I feel it right now, in fact.
Now, what were you telling me about the large cat you saw here?
I didn't see the cat personally. We've heard from the neighbors that there's been a lot of large cat sightings here, including in one tree in this cemetery. We have heard deep cat, like the little growl they do, kind of, you know, in the back of their throat.
Right.
We've heard that twice out here in two different locations inside the woods. We've heard hissing out here, but we've also heard purtling yells, which I don't know what they were, but I'm an avid hunter, and I've never heard nothing like it.
Were they loud?
Yeah, they were fairly loud, yeah.
Did it sound cat-like?
No, this wasn't cat-like. This was more of a human, coming from the chest cavity type yell.
Really?
Yeah.
And how far away from you?
I would say 200 yards.
Not very far then.
Back off in the woods? No, not very far.
Wow, great.
We heard those in the same area that something had charged through there, and it was something very, very large, and it stopped right when it got to the edge of the cemetery. It just like stopped before it stepped foot in the cemetery, and we never heard it again. We never heard it go back in. It just vanished, and we never saw anything either. But it was something big coming through the woods.
Was it coming fast?
Yeah, it was coming pretty fast.
I mean, what I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but kind of like a bluff charge?
Yeah, it was definitely like at the time it didn't seem like a bluff charge. We thought something was going to come out and plow us. But it did stop, so I guess whatever it was a bluff charge.
And the screams you heard, were they before that or after that?
They were before that.
Wow.
Yeah, they were before that. Actually, they were on separate occasions. The screams were about a week apart.
Oh, different times.
Different times, yeah. And the night that I heard the charge is the night we heard wood knocking in the woods back in the same area of the cemetery. I picked up a walnut and I threw it into the woods, and you can hear it going through the trees. You know, I was a baseball player. I threw it quite a ways. You could hear it going for quite a while. And I'd say a good maybe 5 seconds later, that walnut got thrown back and landed 3 feet in front of my toes.
Wow.
And it spooked me pretty bad. But there's nothing in the woods that I know of that can throw a walnut back at you.
Right. Okay. Any other unusual sounds?
Yeah, there's just several different sounds that you can't identify throughout here. Catches you off guard. You hear them briefly. I know we've heard some grunts out here, and they're not deer grunts. They're no animal. It's native to Illinois grunts. They're pretty low, but they're definitely a grunt. And we've heard a series of three grunts in a row was the best one we heard. And it happened to be in the same corner that thing charged us, and I got the walnut thrown at me. So, but like I said, it seems to surround the cemetery, and it makes you think that there's several of these things, and they're protectors. They're protecting this their home, whatever they are.
So, when you come out, does something usually happen every time, or just once in a while?
Every time.
Every time.
I've not yet. I haven't been out here when something didn't happen like that. Which tells me, you know, I just get the overwhelming feeling, don't go in the woods. I don't know why. I think they protect the woods. I think they're saying it's okay to be out here, but don't come in here, you know?
Well, they certainly wouldn't. I mean, this is pretty open here. They would, they wouldn't want to get caught out in the open with it. You know, we assume that they probably think that our vision is as good as theirs, so they're not going to step out in the open and be seen by us. So, I mean, I'm assuming that's why they stop at the fence.
And that's possible, but the thing that baffles me is when you hear these wood knocks or you hear the logs being thrown, and when I heard that thing charge, you never hear anything running off or footsteps going with it. It's just, it's there, and then it's just gone. It's like they glide or something. And I know if it was a natural animal, I'd hear it. Because, you know, like I said, I'm an avid hunter, a deer hunt, and one of the biggest animals in Illinois woods that we know of are the deer, and they sound like, even one deer can sound like a herd of elephants coming through sometimes.
Right.
And these, whatever this is not making noises when it's moving. It's moving very sneakily and knows what it's very intelligent, in my opinion, is what I'm trying to say.
Now, have you ever heard them go through the woods when they're making a lot of noise, like intentional noise?
No. It's always sporadic wood knocking. It can be 1 second we hear it here, and then the second after that we'll hear it clear across the cemetery. It's like they're communicating with each other somehow, and they're saying, okay, I knock, you go ahead and knock. And letting us know that they have the whole area covered. You get that feeling that you're being watched and you're also surrounded at the same time.
Okay, well, maybe that'll happen tonight.
I highly expect it to.
Okay, so it was June of 2008, and I'm filming by the big tree, the big oak tree over here. And I had all the film I needed, so I was going to go down by the gate of the cemetery and set up my video camera, film up the road. Well, as I'm breaking my camera down, over here to the right, about right in there, I hear this come here type whistle, and it was really loud. It's like when somebody takes their two fingers, you know, puts under their tongue, and whistles come here. Well, it was probably about 10:15, 10:30 at night, so it was dark out here, and I knew that couldn't be anybody in the woods because there was no lights in there. You know, you would hear them moving around for one thing, but there was no movement. So I first thought, well, maybe it's a bird, or I'm imagining things. So I finished breaking my camera down. I'm walking down towards the cemetery gate. Went about, 30, 40 yards closer than where it was the first time. You hear it come here, whistle again. And I knew it, I heard it the second time. So I continued walking down by the gate, kind of listening to see if I hear it again. I'm starting to set my camera up down by the gate, and over in the timber, which was about 10 to 15 feet from where I was setting the camera up, it happened again, but it was right there. But there was no sound of movement in the timber. There was no lights on. I would have seen a light in there because it was pitch dark out here. And but the third whistling I heard was right next to me. So that freaked me out a little bit. I had all the rest of my equipment up here by the oak tree, so I figured I'd better go back up by the oak tree and round up the rest of my equipment in case there is somebody in that timber, because it wouldn't be anybody in their right mind that would be in there. But as I'm starting to come back up the hill, the whistling happened again, and it was about where it was the second time I had heard, about 40 yards from the fence probably. And then it happened a good 3 or 4 more times by the time I got up to the top of the hill here. When I got up the top of the hill, I picked up my laser-pointed thermometer that was in my bag, and I started scanning the timber, and the temperature, the average temperature that night was about 78 degrees. But when I started scanning the timber, temperature started to drop, and it dropped into the lower 70s, and then it hit 66.6. And those laser-point thermometers are made to just scan, and usually they don't stop on a particular temperature, but it stopped on 66.6 and froze there, and that scared the dickens out of me when it did that, because, you know, the old 666 thing. I'm thinking something was screwing with me. So that was all I really needed. That was enough. So I packed up the rest of my equipment, went back down there, and started to look at my camera to see how much video time I had left. And the camera was still running. I had about 20 minutes of video on the disc left, but the LCD screen was black. And the only time the LCD screen goes black is if the disc will run out or the battery's dead, and it was still running away. And again, as I walked back the second time back down there to take my equipment back and get ready to pack up, the whistling, again, it followed me down the hill again, but it didn't get as close as it did the first time I walked down there. So I probably, I'm a good 10, 15 times total that whistling that night.
And how close were you the closest?
The closest would have been down there. About where your Jeep is.
Yeah.
That's where I was setting up my camera to film up the road, and it was right next to me in the timber there. It sounded like it was just right in the timber. And, you know, I acted like I didn't.
So would that be 10, 15 feet?
15 max.
15 feet max.
Yeah. And I acted like I didn't hear it because if there was somebody in there, I didn't want them to know I knew they were in there, you know. Yeah. But it was the type of whistle, I got the feeling that something was inviting me to come in the timber. And I've never heard it again out here. And the odd thing was, my camera, I told you the video screen was black. Well, the last time I heard the whistling, that's all I needed because it was kind of freaking me out. So anyhow, I just folded up my tripod, left the camera on the tripod, laid it in my front seat. I'm driving up the road. I got almost to Pena, which is what, about 10, maybe 15 miles from here. And as I got into the outskirts of Pena, I heard this noise on my seat, and I looked down, and the LCD screen was lit up again, and the camera had been filming the whole time. And then when I got home, I played it to see if I got anything when it was dark, but there was nothing on the film. And I didn't pick up the sound, which was unusual because that video camera usually picks up, it'll pick up sounds, you know, 30, 40 yards away, and it didn't.
Wow.
So that's what really surprised me when I got home. There was nothing on it. But it started about right there. Now, another time, that was Saturday night in June of 2008. I go back to work Monday and talking to a couple coworkers, and one of them was interested in the ghost hunting stuff, and the other one was an ex-Vietnam guy. He's Mr. Skeptic, and he didn't believe it. So I said, well, you guys come out with me sometime, I'll show you. He says, well, how about tonight? So I said, yeah, that'd be fine. So we come back out here. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and we hadn't had much activity. And again, it was in the 70s, but this guy's name is Jim Mathis, and I loaned him my laser-point thermometer. And he starts scanning the timber as I'm telling him where the noises were coming from, where the whistling was coming from. And as he scans the timber, the temperature dropped into the 50s. So Jim and the other lady, Cindy, and I were looking in that timber there, and we were standing over here where that stand is, and we were facing the timber, looking at the thermometer, when all of a sudden, right over there in the corner of the by the gravel, we heard what sounded like a combination. First, I thought it was like somebody driving real fast down the road and was going to crash through the gate, but it sounded like a combination of a freight train or a tornado. And it was coming through the timber there. It lasted about 3-4 seconds. But we all whirled around at the same time to see what the heck it was. And it stopped almost as fast as it started. And the only thing I could think of was maybe a big coon or something in the tree that fell out. So anyhow, the next night I come back when it was still, right after work, it was still daylight out. And I checked down there and there was nothing that had fallen. But I could see no big tree limbs. And if it was an animal, of course, it wouldn't be there. But that had been one huge raccoon or whatever made that noise. But it sounded just like a tornado, freight train, something like that.
But a kind of a hissing?
There was no hissing. It was a wind sound. But there was no wind that night. There was no wind, and it only lasted, like I said, 3 to 4 seconds. It was a huge roar. And it came from that area there.
Same area tonight where Bell got upset.
Yeah. And that's where the
It's close to the car. See, they can come in there and be perfectly hidden and get in close.
Yeah, it was definitely a freaky night. But the whistling, there's a lady I work with that raises birds, so I asked her about that sound. And she said that there isn't any bird that she knows of, at least in this area, that would be able to make that kind of sound. And she said 10, 10:30 at night, usually the birds are roosting unless it's a bat, and it wasn't a bat.
Right.